Our reading is taken from the Gospel according to John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. John 1, 1 through 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him, and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." And we trust God to bless the reading of his holy word. Now you will have noticed as we went through these familiar carols, these familiar Christmas hymns and songs, that there is a theme. There are many themes, of course, that are found together, but one theme that comes up again and again is this great contrast that is represented in the words that John speaks in John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In that Epiphany hymn that we sang, "Cold on his cradle the dewdrops are shining, low lies his head with the beats of the storm. Angels adore him in slumber reclining, Maker and Monarch and Saviour of all." What a contrast between the infant in the manger and the fact that he is the Word, the one through whom all things were made. And without him was nothing made that was made. Here is the great Creator become a man, become a child. The paradox of Christmas, if you will, is that God is born. Now, a paradox, of course, is not a contradiction. It's what looks like a contradiction but isn't, because he becomes man without ceasing to be God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The baby in the manger, lo, within a manger lies he who built the starry skies. How amazing it is, the Word becomes flesh and dwelt among us. And so John begins with the Word, and what majesty he ascribes to the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The beginning of what, John, we ask? And John says, it doesn't matter how far you put back the beginning, the Word already was. There never was a time when he was not. He is eternal. He is God. We have brought before us here the mystery of God. We cannot comprehend God. We cannot wrap our minds around God. He is bigger than we are. He is greater than we are. He is one God forever, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we may know that and understand it insofar as God has told us, but we can never wrap our minds around it. How can it be that this one being who is God is three persons? We cannot understand it. But we know it is so, that the Father sent the Son, and the Spirit equipped the Son, and the Son was incarnate through the Holy Spirit. The child which is born of you, so Gabriel said to Mary, shall be called the Son of God, because the Holy Spirit shall overshadow you. Through the Spirit's work, the Son is incarnate of the Virgin Mary. And here is the Word. Here is the mystery of God. Here is God from everlasting to everlasting. Here is majesty and might and power. This is the one before whom the angels, the seraphim, fall down and worship. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Heaven and earth are filled with his glory. And he is the one who became man. He is the one who was incarnate. Here is the one who is eternal God and who is the creator. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Again, emphasizing, he is not a created being. He is the one who made all things. Without him nothing was made that was made. So we may look at this vast universe. You may have been following in the news the story of this British astronaut who has gone up into space, and listening to him on the radio talking about how the marvellous thing is for him, he said, is to look out at space, at this blackness, and see how vast it is. Yes, indeed. And every single star, galaxy, you name it, in that whole vast universe was made by the Lord Jesus. Was made by this one who is the Word. You look at this creation and it is his creation, his world. He is the maker of everything. And you look at how great these... Man, we cannot actually create anything. We can just take the bits and pieces that he made and put them together in new shapes. But we cannot make something out of nothing. But in the beginning God said, let there be light, and light was. And where there was a total absence of anything, suddenly there was the creation formed by him. What power, what majesty and might there is in this one who is the Word. And we are to contemplate him, his greatness, his majesty, his awesomeness, and kneel and worship before him. This is God. This is the high and holy one who inhabits eternity. The Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all. He came down. He became flesh, child for us sinners, poor and in the manger. As the Christmas carol puts it, What a marvel it is that he became flesh, and this word flesh is so important. It means there's no way of getting around it, no way of explaining it away. No, he became flesh. If it had said the word became a man, people would try to find a way around the man being flesh. The word became human. People would try to find a way around that. But when you say flesh, we know what flesh is. We've got flesh. Physical humanity with everything that it entails. He was born, and it was a normal birth. There was nothing about the birth that was unusual. Now, there was about the conception, the circumstances surrounding it, but the birth itself, the process of giving birth, was the normal birth process. He was born, and the child was an ordinary child to look upon. He would have looked upon the infant Jesus, and he would have looked no different from any other child born in Bethlehem at that time. He was an ordinary child in that sense, for the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and took upon himself that which makes us human, that physical nature. He comes and becomes one of us. And yet he is also different from us. He is like us in his humanity. He is one with us in his humanity. He became flesh, and yet was without sin. Because he came for us, he is God with us. Emmanuel, as we read. God, our God, says Mr. Wesley, contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. And Mr. Wesley is thinking about little children who are so small, so tiny. In fact, it's said of Charles Wesley, or his mother recorded and told him, that when he was born, he was a premature baby, and he was so tiny that they wondered, will this infant survive? And he was wrapped in cotton wool and cared for carefully. And perhaps Charles Wesley is thinking of himself and thinking, this infant, this child, this Jesus was made just like me. A little child, a baby who grew up, even as we grow up. Who grew both in stature and in wisdom, who developed as a true human child, who comes, he deigns in flesh to appear, widest extremes to join, God and man together, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And he comes for us sinners. He is the Saviour of mankind. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He comes because we are sinners. If we had not been sinners, then there would have been no reason for the incarnation. Because God and man would never have been separated. But no, it is in Christ that God and sinners are reconciled. Child for us sinners, poor and in the manger. Fain we embrace thee with love and awe. We would embrace thee with love and awe, recognizing that it is for us sinners, for our salvation, that the child is there in the manger, that he is there for us and for our salvation. He is there because we need a Saviour. We need to be delivered from sin. He comes because we all, like sheep, have gone astray and turned each one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Men can accept, in some sense, the infant Jesus, but he does not stay in the manger. No, indeed, as John Byron says to us, oh, may we keep and ponder in our mind God's wondrous love in saving lost mankind. Trace we the babe who hath retrieved our loss from his poor manger to his bitter cross. Tread in his steps, assisted by his grace, till man's first heavenly state again takes place. And we must trace that journey, that life, a life that begins with the conception of the child in Nazareth, a life that is brought into the wider world by his birth in Bethlehem, is a life that goes through his childhood in Galilee, his baptism in Jordan by John the Baptist, that goes onwards through his ministry as he preaches the gospel of the kingdom to that bitter cross outside Jerusalem. Oh, men are all right with the babe in the manger, but they do not like the fact that he left the manger. And we find him on Good Friday nailed to the cross. My God, why have you forsaken? And we see him crucified, bearing the sins of the world. But we find him again on Easter morning, meeting us. Peace be with you, he says, for he by his cross has brought peace into the world. This one is our peace. This one who has died for us and is risen again for us. He came into the world to bear our sins. And we behold his journey. We trace it all the way to the cross and then to the empty tomb. And we hear his words, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And we hear the angels tell that he is coming again in glory. Oh, let us therefore ever look for his coming. Let us remember the whole of that journey of the child who is God, the man who is God, the God-man who for us and for our salvation came down from heaven, who was born, who lived, who died, all for us, for our salvation, to bring unto us peace with God and mercy mild. God and sinners reconciled, the love of God is revealed in the Son. And we indeed, as we hear this, let us remember that it is about Christ, it is about Jesus, the man who is God with us, and who is also God for us, God for sinners, not counting our trespasses against us, but rather taking them himself, that all who believe on his name might through him be saved, and we might indeed behold him in glory. Again, as John Byron puts it in that wonderful hymn, then may we hope the angelic thrones among to sing redeemed, a glad, triumphant song. He that was born upon this joyful day, around us all his glory shall display. Saved by his love, incessant we shall sing eternal praise to heaven's almighty King. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And he it is calls us to trust in him, to cast ourselves fully upon him, and to receive of him that mercy, that grace, that is God's gift to us and all mankind at this time. Amen.